Just had an appreciation this morning, afresh, of the Lord's death for us. That His blood has cleansed me from every sin. You know, everything we talked about this week, all the entanglements, all the sins, His blood has cleansed us. And so our brother encouraged us during the training to consider the Lord's suffering in Psalm chapter 22 and 69. We should consider those things in relation to the words we've heard this week. The Lord suffered those things, that type of suffering, for us, for the sins, the things that we've covered this week. So anyway, I just praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you for your table. Though we have often slighted thee, no, though we were in sin and wickedness, we've gone far from thee, yet in the Son thou hast redeemed, right? Or bestowing life and grace. This is what kind of God we have. Hallelujah. I was reminded of this verse in Philippians 3:1 this morning. Philippians 3:1, Paul says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." To write the same things to you for me is not irksome, but for you it is safe. It is not irksome. And the footnote there on irksome is wearisome, tedious, or troublesome. So I hope, young people, you don't consider these words of inoculation irksome. But it is for your safeguard. So I just appreciated the brother's faithfulness again and again and again to speak these words. And actually, it's not easy to speak these words. So I appreciated our brother's faithfulness, right? And you need an atmosphere for this word to go out. And that's why this kind of word comes in at the last day of the training. Because your being has to be prepared to hear this word. So I appreciate the college training. Brother Minoru opened his sharing saying, you know, the college training started how many years ago? The first one was this. I actually was in that first college training, believe it or not. And I'm not going to date myself. But I was there. And I started in the back row sitting there. And by the end of the conference, I was sitting in the front row. And I've never stopped coming. Amen. So I want to see all the freshmen that are here for the first time here in the college training. Can you stand up? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I would just encourage all the freshmen that make this part of your summer. Every summer training, you would come. He would come to get inoculated, right? And I would say, brothers and sisters, for me personally, it set the course of my Christian life. I mean, I was just talking to brothers this morning. We just love being together at the college training, the atmosphere, and, you know, we just love one another. We did some crazy things, Brother Ted. We did some crazy things. One time we were so burdened that the sisters would be so exercised in their spirit. I don't know. Were you there, Nathan? I don't know if you remember this. Anyway, so we took a session. We said, you know, the sisters just need to exercise like we brothers do. They need to sit in the front row. So we came to the meeting, and all of us brothers took the second row. And the sisters walked in there. What are you guys doing? Like, front row! Front row! Well, I don't know why we did that. Anyway, so they came and sat in the front row. That was the strangest meeting. It was the weirdest meeting. Because that's not proper. Proper headship is that the brothers take the lead. And so anyway, we did some crazy things. But anyway, I appreciate those experiences. And I appreciated, I came on Friday and I saw on the board there was prayer. A prayer list of names and of ones that they contacted on campus, right? And prayers answered. So we had these times where we would pray for the campus, our needs, and we'd pray corporately. And a sister, again, hallelujah for the sisters, she says, she starts praying for the country of Jordan. The country of Jordan? We're praying for UCLA. Remaining fruit at UCLA. She's praying for Jordan. And everyone starts jumping in, you know. Lord, Jordan, get in the country, Jordan. And I'm in my mind, oh Lord, why Jordan? Cal State Fullerton. You know, so anyway, so we just enjoy the Lord. We, you know, pray for all these things. And I think it was one of the last evening meetings. Sister stands up during the meeting. She said, Ron, sisters, I was coming to the meeting and... let me make sure I stop on time here. And my car broke down. And I need, you know, I had a flat tire. We're like, oh, Lord, see story. 30 seconds, where's the piano? You know? And she's telling a story. And she said, so then I was afraid I wasn't going to get to the meeting on time. And then this guy helped us fix our car, and he's here. And, you know, he stands up and everyone's like, amen. You know, and then she goes, where are you from? And that guy that stood up, that came to the meeting that helped him, he said, I'm from Jordan. And I'm telling you, I was sitting in the front row, Brad. We stood up and we just like hugged each other. I mean, all the brothers were like hugging each other like the Lord was coming back right then. I mean, these are the things that can happen at a college training. Because the atmosphere is set. You've been here for a whole week. You've been exercising. You've been touching the Spirit. You've been praying together in twos and threes. You've been blending together. And the Lord is allowed to speak. He has an opportunity to speak to us and to go deeper than he ever has before. And this is an inoculation. And every school year, you know, of course we go back to school and this happens. I always look forward to the college training. Set that time apart. I was just recently at my cousin's house, and her husband is he's a beekeeper. You know, and he's like a young guy. He's not like, you know, retired and, you know, just doing... Well, now he's there, I guess. But anyway, he told me that, okay, so you ever see bees, how they make honey? They're just full of pollen, right? And they just fly around and they go here and there and they just pollinate. So he told me, my neighbor down the street, he has an apple tree. And that apple tree has never, never had any apples on it. He goes, but when I started keeping hives, you know, beehives in my backyard, he goes, that tree had just been blossoming with apples. And he goes, that guy should be paying me. He doesn't even know. The neighbor doesn't even know the result of why that tree is bearing fruit. Well, why do I mention that? Because I'm just thinking, in the college training, when you go to meetings, when you go to conferences, you're like these bees. Like, you know, we're talking about being contaminated, you know, sneezing germs. We're just full of pollen. Oh, look, we don't even know it. We don't even know how much pollen we have. And everywhere you go, brothers and sisters, you go back to your locality, some pollen. You're just rubbing pollen off. You're going on your campus, you're going to your locality, you're going to the young people's meeting, and what? Fruit. 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 How? Just because you've been in the Word. Because you've been exercising. You've been nourished. Right? You're men of God. You know what I enjoyed at the college training? That is your pollen. Fruit. Much fruit. Life. And so, anyway, I just want to encourage you. Freshmen especially. Freshmen, set this time apart to come to the college training. It sets the course of your Christian life. I was just sharing with Brother Ted last night, and I appreciate all of your overflow, your testimonies. So I went to, I was at the college training. I don't remember which one. Enjoying the Lord with the brothers. And then, we go home to our localities. And then I went and visited one of the brothers that was, my companion in the college training. We loved the Lord. Went to his apartment. And there were some brothers there. And they opened up the fridge and said, here you go. Here's a drink. And it was, what do you think it was? It was alcohol. Right after the college training. We didn't have this kind of word, like what Brother Ted gave us last night, what the brothers have been sharing. What do you do? This is real life, brother and sister. This is real life. It's easy here, right? We don't have a refrigerator in our dorm room. What happens when you go? What do you do? Well, we had a good word last night. Refuse. Refuse. You don't have to be, you just say, no, thank you. Okay, so that's in our college years, right? It doesn't end there. Don't think just because you deal with it in college, that's it. It doesn't end there. Just last week, I was, and it's all your life. Last week, I was playing softball with guys at work. After work, we had a softball. And, it was hot. So after the game, they're all there, and I got the cooler, and what comes out? Same thing, alcohol. Right? And I had my water. And it's not a big deal. But my boss, he's like, Emmanuel, here. What do you do? Refuse. Refuse. And just said, no, thank you. That's it. It's not a big deal. But anyway, the reason I bring that up, brothers and sisters, is because I feel like, for me, if it didn't start in college, it makes it much more difficult. Much more difficult. And if you don't set this habit now as college students, and the best time is when you're inoculated, when you're healthy, you hear these words, right? It is a little pinch, yes. It's not pleasant to talk about these things. But you, O man of God, man of God, praise the Lord. In 1 Timothy 3:17 it says that the man of God may be complete. Complete. Complete means complete and perfect in qualifications. Right? So we had this whole line in the morning, right, of the basic qualifications. Basic qualifications of a man of God is what? Do you remember? An exercise spirit. What else? A good conscience. A pure heart. Unfeigned faith. And proper humanity. So how do you become complete as a man of God? To have these qualifications? You have to go to the verse before. What's the verse before? It's 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed. We have to be in the Word. We have to be in the Word. The Word of God completes the man of God. But I also want to bring this up because, this line of a man of God, we had these 40 points that Brother Minoru gave us. We have to do our best to try to memorize these 40 points as much as possible. But also we have these aspects of vessel of honor, right? A pattern to the believers. An inoculator, last night, a good minister of Christ Jesus. And this morning, the last aspect, and I would say to complete, to have a complete picture of a man of God, this aspect is regarding a fighter. A fighter. It's interesting, in Ephesians 5, you have the bride preparing herself through the washing of the water, where? In the Word. So she's preparing herself. Getting into the Word. All the blemishes, all the spots, all the wrinkles, they're being washed away so that she can become a beautiful bride. But then in verse 6, what do you have? Or chapter 6, what do you have? You have a warrior. This bride becomes a warrior. In Revelation 19, we see this bride comes with the Lord, right? With her linen. She comes as a warrior to fight with the Lord. So here in this last message, there is this matter concerning fighting the good fight. So maybe let's have the brothers read 1 Timothy 1:18. Sisters, 1 Timothy 6:12. And then we'll all read 2 Timothy 4:7 together. Ready? 1 Timothy 1:18. This I Amen. Let's say the last four words together strongly. War the good warfare. Okay, sisters, 1 Timothy 6:12. Amen. Okay, let's say the first two, four, seven words together. Strongly.
Fight the good fight of the faith.
Amen. Okay, now all together, 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7.
I have finished the course. I have kept the faith.
Hallelujah! Let's read it again with a strong spirit.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith.
Amen. Okay, so this morning we just want to spend a few minutes to share this last aspect concerning fighting the good fight, warring the good warfare. And again, I'll just bring this example. The brothers, man, the brothers just love these kind of verses, right? Fight the good fight. Yeah, come on, let's go. In the training, that's sharing with the brothers in the full-time training, you can always tell when something's going on. The brothers, the dinner tables, they'll have their verses out. They'll have the Bibles out. And they're like, yeah, yeah, look at this, look at this, look. And, you know, they're going back and forth. What about this verse? What about this verse? And you think, oh, they're studying the outline, you know, or getting into the ministry. No, no, no. They bumped into someone on campus that was opposing. And it asked them, well, you guys say this. You guys say this. And they're like, oh. And they felt they didn't have the verses. So they came back and, where are those verses? You know, and then I tell Brad, and Brad gets stirred up, and he gets Tim, and, you know, everyone's like getting into it. That's just because that's just brothers. You know? We like a good fight. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is not what kind of fight we're talking about. Why? Because this aspect concerning the fighter is the last aspect of the man of God. Right? It starts with all the previous messages that we had earlier. Right? Concerning a vessel of honor, a vessel of honor, a pattern to the believers, an inoculator, and a good minister of Christ Jesus. First. Then we can talk about fighting. Otherwise, we're the wrong people. And I just appreciate that word that Brother Tom shared with us on the inoculator. And these five aspects of the inoculator. Right? We have to be all these things first. Our person has to be right. We have to contend lawfully. And we have to cut straight the word of the truth. And so this morning we'll talk about the fighter, but a big disclaimer here. Don't take this word without taking it in context of the two Timothys. Right? All the foundation was laid so that we can talk about this. Otherwise, we're the wrong people fighting the wrong warfare. And, you know, I was sharing with the brothers earlier that even in warfare, there are rules, right? Seems strange that in warfare there'd be rules, but there is this place called a committee called the Geneva Convention, right, where people got together and they decided, no, that's not fair. That's not how we fight. We do not do germ warfare. That's not what we are. That's not who we are as people. That defines who we are. That's fighting. You would think, oh man, all the gloves are off when you're fighting. Anything goes. No, no. Even in that, you have to contend lawfully. So, brothers and sisters, when we talk about fighting, it's our person. It's our person. What kind of persons are we? We have to be ones that are equipped in the Word. So, how about let's all read first Roman numeral 1 together. Right. So he charges Timothy to fight the good fight against what? Against fornication? Against, I don't know. Anyway, what is it? It's against different teachings. This is really something, brothers and sisters, that the fight, the good fight, is regarding the different teachings. The different teachings in 1 Timothy 1:4, right? You all memorize this? The different teachings produce questionings. What are these different teachings? They're myths and unending genealogies. Anything that would distract from God's economy. What are these things? Well, we'll see. Okay. Roman numeral 2. Let's read it all together. War the good warfare. A. Brothers, one.
We cannot tolerate different teachings from God's economy, which is a matter of the truth, the health of the saints, and the building up of the body of Christ.
We cannot tolerate the different teachings from God's economy, which is a matter of what? Truth. Truth. And the health of the saints. You know, brothers and sisters, we've seen this. We have seen this. Different teachings come in. It doesn't seem like it's a big deal. It's a small thing. But it affects the health of the saints before you know it. You just don't feel like coming to the meetings. You just don't feel like being with the saints. You don't know why. You just don't have an appetite for the Word anymore. You don't know why. Different teachings. Something crept in. Could be unending genealogy. Who knows? Could be a myth. It's just different. What is it? I don't know. But I know when I smell it. I know when I smell it. And brothers and sisters, that's why you come to the trainings. Is to get the smell. You know, to have the skill. And actually, brothers, it's not a skill. It's not a skill. It's inherent. We just know, right? I've sat in a meeting one time where brothers shared something. And you said, yeah, what? Just a little different. Not in the way he dressed. Not in the way he spoke even. Just something different. Why? Because we've been under this ministry. We've been under the healthy teaching. These are the things that affect, as a matter of the truth, health of the saints, and the building up of the body of Christ. I just appreciate, brothers and sisters, at the college trainings, in the meetings, in the churches, what we are doing is building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
And the brothers are endeavoring to follow closely this ministry and to speak the healthy words so that we would have all members functioning for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, 2 says, the different teachings of the dissenters distract the saints from the central line and the ultimate goal of God's New Testament economy. What is the central line? What is the central line? You brothers and sisters get into this? What is the central line? These 7 aspects of the central line, don't you remember? The Word. Right? The Word of God. Then what? The triune God. Right? Then God's economy. Then the all-inclusive Christ. These are the central line. What's the fifth one? The all-inclusive, life-giving, compound spirit. And the sixth item is the body of Christ. And the seventh is the new Jerusalem. These, brothers and sisters, let us not deviate from this central line. And actually, everything we spoke this week is according to the central line. In the Word. For His dispensing. Actually, I was just considering this last night. We talked a lot this week about being vessels of honor and keeping ourselves sanctified. But that is not the goal. Right? The goal is not just to have a clean vessel. Lord, I'm not involved in this. I don't do this. I don't do that. Well, then what? You have a good young person. And that's all you have. But that's not God's eternal purpose. God's eternal purpose is that He would dispense Himself as the life-giving Spirit into man. And that He would have a corporate expression. All these other things that we bring up distract us from that. And they damage us so that we can't be vessels to contain Him and express Him properly. That's why we address those things. It's not so that we're good Christians. That's not the goal. Brothers and sisters, the goal is God's economy.
Amen.
And the goal here, the ultimate goal here in the outline, it says, is the New Testament economy, which is God dispensing Himself into man to have a corporate expression. Hallelujah. That's why we're here. Whether you know it or not, whether you feel like it or not, that's what we brothers are endeavoring. We're following closely to the brothers that are doing this. For the building up of God's eternal economy. Okay. And then 3, the different teachings and heresies are the seed, the source of the church's decline, degradation, and deterioration dealt with in 2 Timothy. Okay, point B, let's all read that together. Amen. The blessed God may be glorified.
Amen.
So, there's many verses here listed. 1 Timothy 6:20 says, O Timothy, guard the deposit, turning away from profane, vain babblings and oppositions from what is falsely called what?
Knowledge.
What are you all gaining at the universities? What is falsely called knowledge. In one sense, right? A lot of that is junk. And you come out thinking you're such a knowledgeable person. The Word says what is falsely called knowledge. So I want to speak this word. We should do the best we can to get the best education, like to be a Hiram, to be a pillar builder, what Brother Ted shared last night. We have to do the best we can, but we don't treasure that. We take the training that the universities give us and we use it to build up God's house. We have to admit, we get help going to school, going to university. We get help somewhat, right? We do get help. Let me just testify. This is why Brother Lee encouraged the saints back in the early 70s to go back to school. They were coming in, pool cleaners, right? Oh, hallelujah, we're just going to be free. We're not set, settled, and occupied. We're going to go. And praise the Lord, there was a generation like that, that can migrate just at an instant, just to go, right? But then this word came, and we need to go to school. Why? Because at that time, I should say, this word was in preparation for what was to come. And what was to come? Well, later in the 70s, early 80s, right? Early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, there began to come different teachings. Different teachings in the form of attacks regarding what you believed. What we believed. So, this is really the burden of this message. My burden for this message is that we would all be equipped with the truth.
Amen.
And in the Word to be a proper fighter.
Amen.
Okay, so what does, Timothy, Tim, I'm going to pick on you. What does 1 Corinthians 15:45b say?
The last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
The last Adam became what?
Life-giving
spirit. No, Tim, I want Tim to say it.
A life-giving spirit.
Amen. Say it again.
The life-giving spirit.
Okay, someone look up 1 Timothy 15:45. What does 1 Timothy 15:45b say? Does someone have it? Timothy, hallelujah! 1 Corinthians 15:45. Who has it? Gabriel, can you read it for me?
So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
The last Adam became what?
A life-giving spirit.
Tim said, what?
The last man, Adam.
No, he said, the life-giving spirit. What does the verse say? A life-giving spirit. Is it a big deal? No, it's not a big deal. Is there a different life-giving spirit? If it's a life-giving spirit and the life-giving spirit, is it a big deal? No. But you know what? People picked up on this. And they started attacking us. Attacking. Tim, you all say, the life-giving spirit. Well, you guys are heretical. You guys are modalist. You believe something else. Well, is there another life-giving spirit? No, there isn't. But this is the attack that was coming in. And so, you know, if we were young people at the time, you guys say this, you guys are more. We're like, praise the Lord, holy Jesus is Lord. And they say, well, what do you guys say about the life-giving spirit? And you're like, praise the Lord, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah, we're the brothers, we're the brothers, come on. You see? Not too clear concerning the truth. Not too clear concerning the truth. Well, you know, of course, our brother was very clear. He brought out a lot of things, right? In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
How clear can you get? The Lord is the Spirit. Oh, well, the Lord there isn't Jesus. The Lord there isn't Jesus. Well, who's the Lord then? And then, okay, well then, young brothers, how do we respond? Praise the Lord! Jesus Lord! No, we can't be that way. We can't be. We have to go to the Word. We have to be constituted with the truth. So our brother just opened all these matters up concerning this, you know. In all these verses, you look at the footnote there, it gives you all these verses. But every aspect in 2 Corinthians there, when Paul uses the Lord, it's Lord Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 1:2, it says, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1:3, blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I just outlined all these verses. 2 Corinthians 1:14. Our Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:5. Christ Jesus as Lord. 2 Corinthians 11:31. God and Father of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus. So when you talk about the Lord being the Spirit in 2 Corinthians, look at where how Paul uses Lord in the entire book. He always uses Lord Jesus. So how can the Lord Spirit not be the Lord Jesus? It doesn't make sense. If you can read the Word with a trained mind. Right? And how do you get a trained mind? Pray. We have to go to school. We have to go to school. And that's why Brother Lee's view concerning the full-time training is that you need a college education. That's the requirement. You have to graduate from college. Well, you know, we're not here for school. We're here for the Lord. Well, to a certain extent, if you graduated from college, you have the skills, at least to read, right? You have to know how to read to get into college. And you have to have done some standard, met some kind of standard to graduate. What's that standard? I don't know. It's different from different schools, different for different majors. But you need something, some minimum. And Brother Lee used that as the minimum for the full-time training. Why? Because he needed to work with some that can understand the Word, that can look up verses and put the connection between 2 Corinthians, Lord Spirit, and the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? The Spirit gives life. Put those together, He is the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
You need some, you know, if I had my son here, well, actually, he's 6 years old. He probably could put it together. He couldn't maybe read it. But it's very simple if you put it together. Right? But some of these aspects, we really need a trained mind. And, brothers and sisters, we need time. We need time to labor in the Word. And again, these are our golden years. Golden years to dig into the truth. Oh, and in the full-time training, 2 years. You will never get 2 years set apart just to study the truth. What a wonderful opportunity to get constant with the truth. To understand, to discern. I was with the Northeast college students at the recent college conference, and we shared on Isaiah, remember? Isaiah 9:6. And there it says, "Unto us, for a child is given to us. A child is born to us, a son is given to us. His name shall be called what? The Mighty God and the Eternal Father." Right? So the child is the Mighty God. And the Son, what's His name? Eternal Father. Oh, you guys translate Eternal Father. It should be Father of Eternity. So the Son really isn't the Father. It's the Father, you guys translate it differently. Well, is there another Father? Well, it should be translated Father of... You know, there's all these different translations. Point of the matter is, there's not another Father. The Son is called the Father. And that's how we take it. We read these verses and we say, Amen.
Amen.
The Word says it. I say Amen. But yes, in these matters of the truth, there's always two sides. And you don't want to push too far one way or too far the other way. Otherwise, it becomes heresy. So anyway, I just dug out, I don't know if you all have seen this, Christian Research Journal. I apologize, brothers and sisters, if I'm being reminiscent, but I just love the college training. And I sound like a dad now. When I was in the college training, right? But when we were in the college training, we had a whole session in the afternoon. Every afternoon, Brother Dan Toll would be with us. And he would be giving us the history of this. We were in this every afternoon session. At least that's what I remember. Him sharing, you know, they're calling you modalist. Julian, they're calling you a modalist. Do you know what that means? No. What's that? They're calling you a heretic. So we had to learn things at an early age in college that most Christians don't even consider their entire lives. What does it mean to be a modalist? Well, really defines it very clearly, that a modalist is when the Father becomes the Son, which we say He does, right? He becomes incarnated. But modalists believe that, well, let me read. This is from an outside journal. Okay, let me give you the background. CRI at the time was one of the leading opposers of the local church. They wrote a little piece calling us a cult. And this was being disseminated all over the college campuses. So you would speak to a new one and tell them about the Lord becoming the life-giving Spirit, and we can enjoy Him by calling on His name, Oh, Lord Jesus! And they would touch the Lord and enjoy the Lord, and we're singing together, and then they would come and say, Hey, did you know that guy you just talked to? He's in a cult. He says the Lord Jesus is the life-giving Spirit. But read the word. It says, a life-giving Spirit. And you're like, poisoned, right? Then He doesn't meet with us anymore. That's what was happening because they were reading CRI. Okay, so the brothers have spent a lot of time with these brothers and sisters, and eventually they wrote this. They wrote this journal, and it says, we were wrong. Hallelujah! And he said, we were wrong. So, one of the things he says is, this is Brother Lee, could not have made it clear where he stood on this issue. This is regarding the Trinity. If only we critics had been thorough enough in our research of and dialogue with the local churches to notice. He carefully explained the essential economic distinction in many places and explicitly contrasts the view of the local churches with the view of the Trinity with modalism. You know, so they would say we were modalists. And we would say, no, we're not. And we would explain to them, but they wouldn't listen. And that's, you know, Brother Dan would kind of get us going and say, you know, they're saying this. And we're saying, no, that's not what we believe. It's like, yes, get into the Word. Be constituted with the Word and go out and share that. Right? So here, this Brother Lee says, what is the error in modalism? Modalism teaches that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are not all eternal and do not exist at the same time. Rather, modalism claims that the Father ended with the Son's coming, so the Father became the Son, and the Father is no longer, right? But now He's just the Son. And the Son's coming, and that the Son ceased with the Spirit's coming. So when you say the Lord became the Spirit, the Lord no longer, that was no longer Jesus, that He's now the Spirit. Is that what we believe? No, absolutely. Absolutely not. We believe He co-inheres and coexists all at the same time. Can we explain it? No. The triune God is not for us to understand, but for us to enjoy. Amen. The modalists say that three of the Godhead exist respectively in three consecutive stages. They do not believe in the coexistence and coherence of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Unlike them, we believe in the coexistence and coherence of the three of the Godhead. That is, we believe the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all exist essentially at the same time and under the same conditions. However, in the divine economy, the three work and are manifested respectively in three consecutive stages. Yet even in their economical works and manifestations, the three still remain essentially in their coexistence and coherence. That's our brother. That's what we believe. So we young people, need to get into these things. We need to get into these things so that when the matter of different teachings come in, we can say, no, that is not what we believe. We believe Isaiah 9:6 says the Son is called the Eternal Father. That's what we believe. Well, no, you all say this and that. No. We say what the Word says. What does the Word say? Well, we have to be constituted with the truth to say these things. Okay. So in all these contexts, he continues. Those of us... Oh, okay. So then, as they began to dig into our writings more and began to interview the brothers, they began to realize, wow, Brother Lee was really sharing something on this side of God being one, because Western theology was really pushing this matter of God in His three, Father, Son, and Spirit being separate. You know, being separate. Which, there's a danger of believing that there's three gods. The Father is God, the Son, yeah, absolutely, they're God. But they coexist, they're one God. He's one. Right? But Western theology was pushing this. So he says, those of us who have used the word separate to distinguish the persons of the Trinity owe a debt of gratitude to Witness Lee for pointing this out. You see, because we were being attacked on these aspects concerning the central line, this is the triune God, right? These are the things we fight for. The triune God, the all-inclusive Christ, these matters, right? That's what we're fighting for. That's what we need to get into regarding the truth and experience. Okay, because we're being attacked, we were forced, Brother Lee was forced to dig out all the riches concerning the truth. Now, don't ever feel like on the matter of the truth, we cannot go toe-to-toe with anyone. We can absolutely go toe-to-toe with anyone regarding the truth. Why? Because it's absolutely based on the Word. Now, it's in our person of how we present it. You know, the brothers early on, you know, they went out and they just enjoyed the Lord. They were wild sometimes. And that contributed a little bit to some misunderstandings because, you know, anyway, we'd call into their radio lines and sabotage their radio show sometimes. That probably wasn't too proper. But, you know, we just felt like we needed to do something because what they were saying was not true. And they weren't listening. So, anyway, to be proper persons, okay? And finally, this is Elliot Miller, one of the editors. I believe that sufficient evidence has been provided to exonerate the local churches from the charges of heresy, aberration, duplicity, and self-contradiction as regards to the Trinity. Just as we at CRI admitted that we had wrongly charged the local church with modalism, I am confident that other evangelical critics of the local church who are fair-minded and open to correction will reach a similar conclusion. We didn't have this, brothers and sisters in college. You all have this. You need to get into this. You need to study these aspects. How? With a sober mind. With a renewed and transformed mind. And eventually, you know, we were fellowshipping last night, Brother Ted and I. As a result of the words that Brother Lee shared in Genesis 85, Hiram Pillar Builders, a lot of these brothers, one brother particularly we know, took that word, went back, got a PhD, and is very useful to the Lord today. Very useful. What, you know, we have these publications that come out, Affirmation and Critique, right? Defense and Confirmation of the Gospel. These brothers that took these words are so useful today that they can write and they can, you know, some of this language is not our language. We don't say ontological aspect of the Trinity, right? Which is economical. We just don't use those terms. But some of these brothers, because they said they could, and they can write in a concise way. How do you learn to write? You got to go to school. And I bring this back because I just felt like in my personal experience, went to school, then went to the training. And I just felt I can do a little more, you know, just a little bit more. So I went back and did grad school. And I feel like during grad school, and I'm not promoting this, really, brothers and sisters, I'm not promoting. If you can get this now, get it now. But I felt like during that time, there was something that happened. Maybe because I was just immature as a young college brother. I'm a late bloomer. Right? Maybe I still haven't bloomed yet. I don't know. But something just clicked, and I was able to pick up some things. And some of those aspects, you know, of how to think, how to write, how do you critically think? How do you, not that we're critical, but about, you know, of things that are said against us, to have this kind of mind and have this kind of thinking, and to write. Wow, I had to write a lot. I hated writing. You know, but what are these messages? These are writing. We have to write outlines. We have to compose. That's the benefit of going to school, of picking up these skills. So don't have this negative thought or this evil thought of, I'm just going to get my degree in the easiest degree I can get, take all the easiest classes just so I can get to the full-time training. I've heard this. Right? The fastest I can get to the training. Amen. But you're cheating yourself. And actually, you're cheating the Lord. Because then, when it's study time, you know, you can't study. You don't have the skills there to study. And you don't have the analytical skills to study the Word in a proper way, to cut straight the Word of the truth. So, anyway, I've gone too long here, brothers and sisters. But I just wanted to encourage you, as this last aspect of the man of God is a fighter. Fight the good fight. And this aspect really is related to the truth. Spend time to get into the truth. Yes, get nourished in the truth. But also, brothers and sisters, study the truth. Get constant to the truth. Especially related to the central line, these seven aspects. And enter into the experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the college training. And hallelujah for the books of 1 and 2 Timothy.